made in Kenya. Top half of me. I have a belt that goes with this, but I can't wear it and let this wear this properly. But this was made in Kenya in honor today of a banquet in which we're going to celebrate our relationship with Kenya. And we have a very special guest who came a long ways to share with us today. And I've flown that trip once. I don't like flying over water. I can swim, but I didn't figure I could do it well enough to have to make it home. I always try to sit in the back of the plane for two reasons. I'm scared of flying, for one thing. I bit that right up front. I'm scared of flying. So I always sit in the back of the plane because I've never known one to back into a mountain. And I figure I'll crash last. But when we get that far, you really have a special treat today for you. Let's pray, and then Spencer and his guys can start. Guys and gals can start through.
Before you pray, there's one more announcement.
Oh, we've got one more announcement.
Just a reminder that the curriculum exchange table is upstairs. There will be, you'll have a few minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes or so after the banquet ends, if you would like to check it out or grab any last minute things. Deb, that curriculum you asked me about is still up there. And if your church brought stuff, some stuff we'll keep, some stuff we'll recycle. And then Linville, if there's anything appropriate for your ministry, I'd be glad to help you load that and take that with you. I don't think he... Did you hear me? Yeah, okay.
Okay, we're going to hold up the fort here and get some information out. So come on over. Everything that's important is first.
This is so this is very important. Speaking of Linville, Lynn Kinney, who is our USFW president at Linville, and she's coming back on the board this year, and she has had hip surgery, and she's still in the hospital. She's in a lot of discomfort, a lot of pain. Appreciate your prayers for Lynn. Because she loves us so much and wanted to be a part of being here, and she's not able to be here, she made these beautiful centerpieces that are on your table. It has a vase with a little church for the 150 year. She would like to have those go home today. So if you're from your church, see if we can get one to different churches. Please take one with you. If it ends up two or three are going to the same church, try to disperse them around. I don't know how else to quite do it. So the flower centerpieces at the end of the meal, we'd like to have you take them home to your church today, and those are made by Lynn Kinney from USSW. Thank you.
Okay, now that I got everything organized in order, we'll pray. I'm sure I forgot something. And Spencer's group will go, and then this table will go because some of them are going to be spending time up here. And they probably need a chance to fuel up and get settled in first. And after that, I don't know how to do this thing. So do we go eeny, meeny, miny, moe? We don't want to all stand in line at one time. So we'll start at this side and go that way. So then when we go through the line, we don't have to smell your food or watch you eat and maybe steal something on the way over. So, well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this very special day and this very special banquet. We thank you for blessing us with the presence of so many people and for the fact that we have several missionaries with us and several people who are serving you in a very great way. And pray, Lord, that we will be blessed, that in our fellowship we will be a blessing to you. We thank you for this great food we know we're going to have from our students. Food service, just thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Get up and go. Somebody got to start.
Well, I needed to complete an assignment. The other day we asked for people to figure out how many folks they recognized on all the pictures on the William Penn board banners. You know, they had three banners there that were filled with pictures of the antiques. No. But I am told that people didn't turn in a list of how many people they recognized. So this is how we're going to do this. Either that or I'm taking it home. How many of you stopped and figured out people on those pictures that you recognized? See your hands. How many recognize one? How many recognize two? How many recognize three? How many recognize four? How many recognize five? Five? You still have five? Are you in there at five, Lloyd? Six? Are you still in there, Lloyd? Okay. Well, we still have one hand up. Ann Lee. So these are for you. So this is a gift from the Marketing Advancement Department. Our VP is here with us today. I was asked that I should introduce Scott Biddle. Scott, where did you go? Scott, can you come down here real quick? You can just leap over. It's kind of strange how he picks out certain people he gets to know right away, like Spencer, Mark Porter from Linville, you know. So he made it down the stairs. Scott is the new youth and young adult director for Iowa Yearly Meeting. I was told some of you have not met him yet. So, Scott, come up. Don't say anything. No. You want to say anything? He warned me the other day, don't put a microphone in my hand. So I'm trying to remember that. Thank you, Scott. I've been looking for an opportunity. Was she there? Tawny's there, too. Tawny, stand up, please. Okay, sorry. That's not their baby. I just was thinking this week that we've had a lot of missions emphasis. And as this week has unfolded, I became aware of the fact, while I knew that Karen had just returned recently from Friends Bringing Hope in Kenya, over there for another couple of weeks. And then I was told that, I knew that Rita Davis was over there in Uganda on a medical mission trip. And then I found out that the young lady that was working in the CE, the children's ministry, had just returned from Uganda from a trip. That's, I don't know her first name, Claus from, but it was her daughter that was just in, Rebecca, she was in Uganda, just returned. From Lipscomb University. Okay. So, things are just happening. It just keeps going farther and farther out, I think. Anything else that we're trying to wrap this up and turn it over to our star featured speaker. Yeah. Oh, we got more things to do. So I quit. So I think so. Were you planning on doing? Okay. All right. Mr. McCracken, this has been a great yearly meeting session, and it's just been a real pleasure to see it all come together. Largest attendance that I can recall in recent history anyway, last night for any single event, so it's just been a great time. Thank you all.
Had several things actually lined up, but we're going to try to compress some things for sure. I'd like to thank you, Spencer, for your music and for the, that was wonderful. Thank all of you and your group. I more than appreciated it. It was moving. And I would like to recognize, and they're not here so we can do it, but we had a great meal. Dennis, you might maybe should tell them to come out here so we can take a bow. While he's doing that, I'd like to say that we have obviously a connection with William Penn College that's been very beneficial. And, of course, a lot of you have been a part of that college. I'd like to recognize a representative to have here with us today, Sherry Taylor, been helping out a lot. Why don't you stand up and just wave your hand? Well, you can just wave your hand. I don't care. And so she shared a little with it last time. All right, these are the guys we want to see, ladies. We had thank you very much. It was super. And I'll be returning a couple of pans after the offering, as was when I got them. Announcement that we have a Friday, the last Friday in September. So I think that date is the 27th. And that is a scheduled work day for our mission center at Meskwaki Friends Center at Tama. And I guess that's my announcements. Chip was going to tell you we got a work day coming up this fall.
I haven't set a date yet.
Okay, well, so much for Chip. That's good. Carrie Hadley, I couldn't turn her down. She promised to be short, and you have a couple words to say about triennials. So Carrie and Deb Savage are the USFW headed up that, and Carrie called me and asked me to be sure encourage some of you men to get involved since it's a Quaker men triennial also. And a lot of times in the past, from what Lloyd has said, that hasn't really happened. We're going to, where's Lloyd Stanglin? Can you do this in 5 minutes, Lloyd? Yeah, you want the microphone?
No, just say, be watching for information on the composting tea project. Andy Glenn has promised that we'll have some information in the Quaker Life for a period of time, and we'll be providing some additional information about the tea project as a way to raise funds for the Kimosi, for the Friends Theological College at Kimosi. So if you have any questions about that, just talk to me, but you'll be hearing more about it. That's a Quaker Men project for the next 3 years. So I'll just do that much and let it go from there.
That would be great, Lloyd. We're going to give him more time and go into some more detail, but we got a lot going on, and we had someone fly in from a long distance just to be with us today. Your arms must be really tired after that long flight. We had our meeting. Now we're going to take an offering. That's what Quakers always do. So I needed a couple of ushers. And I think I'll pick on a board member sitting up front here, Stan. That's what we're going to get to, and thanks for reminding me. Scratch that one. Make them out to the USFW. You want to do an Iowa Friends USFW or just USFW? USFW of Iowa. I surrounded that one. USFW of Iowa. And they will take care of the funds and write a check to cover it, and it will go to AMO, African Missions Office. African Ministry. There it is, right there's where it's going, like I said. So Stan, and who else was coming up to help? I grabbed somebody. Yeah, I think I'll get Mac up here. Two of your board members for Quaker Men. Just go ahead. Maybe I'll pray first, do you think? Lord, just pray that you would bless this offering, and thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the work that's happening in Kenya. Just bless the gift and the giver, multiply it many times over. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. When the banquet is over, we'd like to have a number on what we did.
All right, I have a couple announcements myself, and they'll be quick. USFW Fall Retreat is October 5th at Linville, and Deneen Amuada will be our speaker. And if you want to save the date, the USFW Triennial in 2016 is the 7th through 10th. July in 2016. Sam Barber is going to be speaking at Grace tomorrow, and also Sam Barber is going to be speaking at Bloomington Muscatine tomorrow. So if you want to take advantage of listening to his good work, please go. Now I get the pleasure of introducing Judith. Judith Nagoya serves as the African Administrative Assistant for the African Ministries Office in Kisumu, Kenya. Her responsibilities include leadership training in Kenyan yearly meetings, pastoral counseling, office communications to the yearly meetings, and participating partner projects. She also manages the office and runs office errands. Judith started out her college education at a place near and dear to my heart. She has a diploma from Friends Theological College under the principalship of Rich and Sandy Davis, two other people who are near and dear to my heart. She also got a bachelor's degree at KEMA, which was a school that we visited several times with our students. And she has a master's degree from Nairobi East Africa School of Theology. So, Judith, I want to welcome you to Iowa Yearly Meeting, and please bring what God has on your heart. Thank you.
Can you see me? Okay. If I want. Praise God. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Good afternoon. As you've heard, I'm Judith Ngoya. I have three names. Two names was given when I was born, and I was added another name. That is my father's name. And in Africa, you must have two names, and then you add one name that belongs to your father. And if you are a lady, when you get married, you can remove the last name, which is your father's name, and you replace the name of your husband if you wish. But if you don't want to change the name, then it remains, you remain with your father's name. And many people like changing, and others doesn't like to change. And as for me, if I was married, I would retain my father's name, because it is so precious. As you've been introduced to me, I come from a very humble Christian family. My father is a Christian, my mother was a Christian, my grandmother was a Christian, and in fact she was a pastor. And my grandfather was a teacher, but he was a Christian teacher who used to teach Christian education in primary schools in those days. And in my family, we are 12, 7 girls, and 5 boys. In fact, we were 13, one died, and we are now 12. very healthy children, and working for the Lord. We always thank God because God has been always close to our family, because many times when I interact with some from my friends or children of pastors, or sometimes many people in Kenya, they know that pastors' children are not always Christians. But I thank God because God has been always close to our family, and all of us are born again Christians. We are three pastors in our family, me being one of them, and my brother that I follow, and one young that follows me twice. He's a pastor. And two of us, we are in Quaker Church, but the young one is in Episcopal Church. We have no problem with him because we know that we are serving the one God, and we know that the in Episcopal Church is same as the God in Episcopal is the same God that is in Quaker Church, and is the same God that is in Anglican, and the same God that is in Catholic and everywhere. Therefore, in our family, that's how we are. I love God so much because he picked me from far and when I was still young. And before I go to that, as you've been told, I work in Africa Ministries in Kisumu as administrative assistant, at the same time, program officer. I do leadership trainings in 17 yearly meetings in Kenya, including one in Uganda. And it is my job to do all that, make sure that all yearly meeting leaders have been trained in leadership skills on how to run the church and the church be effective. At the 17 yearly meetings, including that one in Uganda, we target to train all presiding clerks from yearly meeting to village meeting. We train treasurers from village meeting to yearly meeting, and any other, the pastors who cannot manage to pay fees at FTC, we train them, and then they can go ahead and maybe if they want to add more knowledge at Friends Theological College, and any other nominated leader in the church. It's my duty to go around the yearly meetings to train them before they start doing their work in the yearly meetings. And in our trainings, we talk about spiritual discipline in the church. We talk about this church discipline in general, and we talk about raising and managing church funds. We talk about church growth and expansion and inner life of a Christian leader. And Leadership and Development Committee that I am the chairperson, we are helping in the management board in Samburu Friends Mission and also in Turkana. We are helping to develop leaders that are going to stand and make sure that the mission is moving on well and the work is being effective. And as per now, I was talking with the principal of Friends Theological College, Andrix, and she said that 12 students from Samburu community are ready to join FTC to train as pastors. And as many people who have visited Kenya, they know that we know that, or we've seen that Samburu and Turkana and sometimes Maasai are the marginalized people in Kenya. They are still primitive, and even in that community, people doesn't educate girls. But because of the work that AMO is doing, they are trying to reach those communities and to make sure that they consider even girls to be educated, to be sent to school, because every child has a right to learn, and all children are equal. And also there is more need for more friends to work alongside AMO, Africa Ministries, in reaching the unreached people in Kenya, like the Southern Sudan, and also like the Southern Tanzania, and even some parts of Uganda. Many parts of Uganda have not been reached, and many parts of Tanzania, when we were there, we realized that many people have not been reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and likewise to Southern Sudan and maybe Turkana and Samburu. And that is the work that AMO is trying to do or is doing in Africa. And before maybe we go to look at the PowerPoint, I want to share my own personal testimony that made me to do the work that I'm doing. And I've been sharing with people about the assignment that God lays on people's hearts everywhere I go. And when God lays an assignment to your heart, it becomes so strong that sometimes when you are not careful, it becomes so strong and then you feel like it's going away. Because it comes with limited information. And when it comes with limited information, when you are not so careful to listen to the voice of God, you may think that it came by itself or you were thinking about it when it was really God giving you that assignment to do to his people. And I look at the examples of people in the Bible that God laid assignments to them, and some tried to run away from the assignment, but others took the assignment and they followed it. And I realized that those assignments came with some consequences. I look at Jonah in the Bible. Jonah was called by God to go to take the message or to take the message to a certain land, and you know the story of Jonah. And Jonah looking at himself and feeling maybe he felt that he is not worthy to go, or I don't know how he felt, he decided not to go, and he went to another direction. And when he went to another direction, I begin thinking of God, that when God is not finished with you, he will never let you go. When God is not done with you, when God gives you an assignment and he's not satisfied that you've done that assignment, he will never let you go. So he followed Jonah wherever he went, under the waters, wherever he was, until Jonah accepted to go and take the message where he was sent. Praise God. When Jonah delivered the message, though he didn't find that satisfaction, but still God didn't leave him. And here again I look at Abraham. God comes to Abraham. Abraham is settled, and Abraham is satisfied wherever he's staying, and he's happy with his family and his people. And God tells Abraham that leave this country and go to another place, foreign land, that I will show you. And God does not tell Abraham where he was taking him. He just said, go to another land. And Abraham didn't refuse, but he takes the assignment, and he didn't question God. And Abraham begins to walk, and he went. And when Abraham is there, again God is telling him what to do. You see here, God is not telling Abraham, it's not giving him the whole information, but he gives him limited information. Just go. And why does God do that? He does that because he knows that when he gives you the whole information, you'll do things by your own. But when he gives you the limited information, you'll keep on following him. Now I've done this. God, what next? And that's a big lesson to me, that it has taught me always to lean on God, always seeking his face, always asking his direction. Because when I was a teenager, and in the middle of my adolescence, God called me. And that was something I didn't like at all, at all. You can imagine in the middle of your adolescence, when life is just good and you see yourself as Judy. Nobody is around you but yourself. You can't see any other person. I know everybody went through adolescence, and if you didn't go, maybe it will come at the later stage, which is very bad. So in that time that I was so much relaxed and life is so good, and here somebody comes and he wants me to do something that I don't want to do. And this, it came like this. It was a holiday, a government holiday, and so with my friends, we had gone somewhere to celebrate the holiday. That was Independence Day. And while we were there, we entered into a hotel, big size of this house, and there was music, and there was celebration, people drinking the way glasses are on your tables, and life is so good, and we go there, the music is so sweet to listen to and enjoy. And with my friends, we were five people in one car. We entered, and the house was full. So we didn't have seats to sit. We stood on the wall as the hotel waiters were looking for a place for us to sit. So they found a place, and we sat down on a round table, and there everybody calls what she or he would like to drink. With my friend, some were taking beer. I was taking soda. And that's the only thing I always thank God that I haven't tasted beer in my life, and maybe God knew that. And before that, every time I was visiting, we were going to church. I was not saved. I was not born again. I was just a young girl. But every time I go to any Christian organization or a church or wherever there is a group, I will find an elder picking on me either to lead that group or maybe to go, if it's a church, to teach Sunday school children. And I was always feeling bad about it. Why do they hate me? Everywhere I go, they have to pick me and do something. So I was trying to avoid, but because my father is so strict that if you don't go to church on a Sunday, you either sleep out or you don't eat. So that one always made us to go to the church just to make him happy, just to make him feel that I have good children. But in the real sense, inside myself, I was feeling no. And now we are there, people asking for beer. I asked for a soda because I haven't tasted beer, and I didn't want even to taste. We are there, and the music is playing, and everybody's enjoying, and I'm sitting the way Sam is sitting like this on the table, and I felt something touching on my shoulder. I turned around and I didn't see anybody. And I was wondering, maybe somebody passed so quickly that I didn't see and he touched me, I don't know. So I continued sitting and taking my drink. After some minutes, again, another touch came the other side. And I started feeling an ease being in that hotel. And I lacked peace totally. I didn't have peace. And I told my friends that we have to go home. I thought that way because I knew that my father, maybe he has discovered that I'm not at home, and so he's looking for me. So I didn't want him to find out that I've gone out without his permission. So I insisted that we go home. And they were good enough, and we left. And that day went nicely like that. My father didn't discover. The following, again, after another like 2 weeks, we visited again to another hotel. It was not a holiday. We just sneaked out and then we went. Life is so good. In that hotel, again, we are there, and the music is playing, and people are dancing, and we are also dancing, and we go and we sit down, and we stand up, and then the third time I sat down, and then I had another tap on my shoulder. And I was like, have you touched me? And somebody said, no, nobody has touched you. Like 10 minutes. Now the long touch with a message. Judy, I want you to serve me. But serve who? He didn't say serve me, I'm God or I'm who, but just, Judy, I want you to serve me. I turned around, I didn't see anybody, and I was asking, I was just thinking by myself, serve who? A mind tells me maybe it's God, but I don't want to think of God. I know sometimes I had been hearing stories about people being touched and people being God talking to them, but now I'm thinking of that, but something tells me don't think of God. It's not yet your time to think about God. So I'm struggling to avoid that, and then I felt again no peace in my heart, and I felt like I want to cry, and I told my friends, we want to go home. And another one said, Judy, you are becoming so stupid to us. Every time we go somewhere, you force us to go home before time. What's wrong with you? I told them, okay, me, I'm going. And I didn't know how to drive, but they had my friend has placed a key on the table. So I picked the key and I left. And they knew I don't know how to drive. So they followed me and they snatched me the key, and I forced them and we went home. Before we reached home, there is a bridge that is a bit distance, like 1 hour before we reach home. And that bridge, that river is too deep. And when we were driving down the road, the river, the driver lost control. And the car was almost falling into the river. But it was like a stop, and I don't know what stop was it. Because the door of the car was almost facing the water. And that was my side. So I could not come out of this side, but I was to go through the driver's seat, and we got out. And when we got out, people started running and coming towards the river to see what's happening. Because in Kenya, people walk everywhere. It's not like here, everybody has a car. In Kenya, people walk everywhere and on the road and wherever. So people were running to see the accident has just happened and who are those. So when people are coming, I used the driver's seat, and then we all of us stood outside. And there again, that voice comes to me. Who is this? Judy, I told you, you serve me. And that, now I realize this must be God. And I said, God, you are so bad. How can you do this to me? I didn't understand why he's following me. When God is not done with you, he will never let you go. We went home that day. Before we went home, I started crying there. And so people thought I'm crying because we had just almost getting an accident and dying. They didn't know that there is another thing that is really disturbing me. So we went home, and I felt like I'm not going to tell anybody, and I'm going to be quiet. And if it's God, he's going to keep quiet also and leave me alone. So I kept quiet like a week. And I didn't find peace. But something told me to go and ask a local pastor who is not very much educated, because I knew that when I go to an educated pastor, he will explain more to me, and maybe he'll tell me to go to the church and maybe do whatever or accept what God is telling me to do. So I went to a very local pastor who is not very much educated, and I told him the story. And before even I finished, he said, that was God. And he wants you to serve him. And I've been always telling you to teach Sunday school and do church work, but it's like you didn't want. Now, see, God is talking to you. Accept the call. I looked at him and it was like, I don't think if this person is, maybe because he's not educated, let me go to another one. Who is more? He who can understand how I'm feeling. And I went to another one, and the third one told me the same thing. And I said, okay. I didn't tell them, okay, I will do that, but I just kept quiet, and I went home. And after another 2 weeks, I felt like taking up just a paper and applying secretly to FTC to go and train as a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. Why? Because I was seeing the pastors who had been trained. After training, they come to serve the church, and they just suffer. They are not paid well. Their life is not so good. And so when I was looking at them, I said, Judy cannot lead such a life of a pastor. My life was to study, university, get a better job, a government job that I'll be paid. Every month I go to the bank and I get my money. But now this one, that I'm going to depend on people, no way to Judy. That's what I was thinking. And God was thinking differently about me. God's plan are not our plans. And God's ways are not our ways. The way we plan our life, God may be planning a different life for you or for me. So the way I was thinking I'll work as somebody in the government didn't happen the way I wanted. And he took me to a different direction. And when I applied at FTC, the letter didn't take a week to get the replies. Usually in Kenya, you post a letter after 2 weeks is when the letter reaches where you've sent it, and then another 2 weeks is when you may get the replies. But that one took only 1 week. The letter is gone, and it's back with the replies. And now it's telling me you come for the interview on such a date, and now the letter has come and it has accepted. Now, what do I do? Nobody else knows. What do I do? I don't have money to pay for fees. I don't know how to do this. I thought about it for 2 days, and I took the letter to my father. And when my father looked at it, he was like too much excited and said, when did you apply this? Oh, my God, you've answered my prayer. So in my heart, him also wants to go to be a pastor. Surely. And my brother also, whom I follow, who is also a pastor, who requested me even earlier that when you finish school, train as a pastor. And I told him, if you want to be waiting people to give offertories so that they pay you, okay, go for pastors. But me, no. And now also he's there and he's saying, God has answered our prayers. When God is not done with you, he will never let you go. God is so powerful. God is so faithful. And his mission, when he starts something in you, he must complete it. And from there, I went to college, to FTC. And the first day I'm going for the interview, and I meet teachers there, and they greet me with a lot of respect. And they ask my brother, because my brother had taken me to the interview, and they ask me, is she coming for employment or she's coming to as a student? Then he tells them, she's coming as a student to study. Then they say, we thought she's coming to teach other people. God is God. And from there, God has been taking care of me, following me wherever I go, from diploma to degree to master's and up to wherever I am right now. That's why I want to encourage you that when God has a purpose for you in life and he picks on you, it doesn't matter which age you are. It doesn't matter you are how young or how old you are. He looks at your heart and he says, you can do this. And you should not feel that you are not worthy to do something that God has given you to do. And many people told me that before, even when I was still young, very young, more than what I was, but I was telling them, I don't think if what you're talking is true. When God is not done with your life, he will never let you go. And when he lays an assignment to your heart, you have to accept it, because when you refuse it, it has consequences. And when the assignment comes, it comes with limited information. He doesn't give you the full information. Why? So that you keep on depending on him, because he's all-knowing. Okay, that is my life. And that is how I am up to now. And people told me that you are not going just to. I have many stories to share about my salvation, because I was too stubborn to God. I resist him so much. If he was to give up on me, he would. But I respect him, and always I follow his directions. He has taught me always to be humble. By the way, I'm not somebody who talks too much. But when he tells me to speak, I can speak. Praise God. Okay, I want us to look at the PowerPoint that AMO is doing in Africa. Maybe I go down and host. Can I use this? That's Africa Ministries Office, slide 2. Okay, the mindset of early missionaries was to take light to the darkness and reach the unreached for Jesus Christ. The mission work in Kenya began in 1902 in a 1,150 acres were granted to 5 years meeting in Kaimosi for industrial mission. First, a dam on the Goligoli River was built for a water-powered sawmill. By the 1960s on the mission, there existed a teacher's training college, a nursing school, a girls' secondary school, a Bible school, Kaimosi Hospital, and printing press. Some of the things that are there, like the printing press and the nursing home, are no longer existing in Kaimosi, but the teacher's training college is still existing, and it has been taken over by the government, and the Kaimosi Hospital is doing well, and the girls' secondary school is now high school, and the population is just amazing. Mission stations were also started in Lugulu and other locations, but the Kaimosi mission was the center of activity. So East Africa Yearly Meeting was established in 1946 with 1 year meeting, and right now there are 17 Kenyan yearly meetings and one in Uganda. As Kenyan friends have become increasingly educated and trained, the mindset of FUM has changed to that of being global partners as we do the work of Christ together with friends in shared ministry. In this one, it has become a global partnership, because now we have the vice presiding clerk who comes from Africa and the recording clerk comes from Africa. Now we are working as partners, but not maybe directives from here to Africa. In 2005, FUM took the step to establish an administrative office in Western Kenya, and after all, there are now 10 times as many friends in Kenya yearly meetings as there are here in the U.S. That's the map of Africa, and where you see the arrows, that's Uganda and Kenya and Tanzania and all those countries. We have Quakers, though we have some other Quakers in Congo and Burundi, but they are not affiliated to FUM. That's the map of Kenya, lying on the equator, running across equator. And where you see the arrows pointing are where the Quakers are mostly concentrated. We find Quakers in Turkana, we find Quakers in Samburu, we find Quakers in Kitale, Eldoret, Nakuru, Nairobi, and Mombasa, Malindi, Moshi, we have Quakers. And the Kisumu office, where you see arrow pointing FUM office, that is where, that is Kisumu town. And we can see Kisumu town, that's Kisumu city, third largest city in Kenya. And where the arrow is pointing down, that tall building, it's where Africa Ministry's office is located. And behind that, you can see we are on the sixth floor of that building. It's called Reinsurance Plaza, and it's just a 10-minute walk to Lake Victoria. When you're at our office, Africa Ministry's office, you can only take 10 minutes, and then you reach the Lake Victoria. And when we are sitting at that office, we get direct breeze from the lake. That's John and Eden. And right now, Eden is no longer at Africa Ministries office. He's now in Richmond office. And that is the, we are looking for a person. We are searching for a person to replace Eden because the work in Africa is so much. I'm happy because we have somebody from Richmond office. And when I talk like that, I know she's... We are going to see the responsibilities of Eden in Africa Ministries office. And now that she's not there, you can imagine how the office is going to look like. That's John Muhanji. Many of you know John Muhanji. I think you know him better. And I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was preaching somewhere in a crusade. That is his home, where the car is. And that's the villages around him. And that's his late mother with the great-grandchildren in the village in Vihiga. That's Eden. Grace. That's her family. And these boys have now grown up, including Eden, and they are not the way you are seeing them like there. This is the picture of 2007. But the current one, they are just different people. As FUM field officer, Eden's main jobs were somebody who is going to replace Eden. That's the jobs that he has to be doing, to be the link, the connecting link between FUM in East Africa and the Richmond office, take minutes, keep financial records, manage the business of FUM in East Africa, make travel and hospitality arrangements for international visitors, serve on the management team for Kaimosi Hospital and on the board of Lugulu Hospital and on the board of Turkana Mission, and on the board of Samburu Mission. Responsibilities of AMU: coordinate ministries of 17 yearly meetings, including one in Uganda, train church leaders or officers, work with yearly meeting education secretaries to make sure that Quaker values are taught in 250 secondary schools and 1,200 primary schools that are sponsored by Friends, and be the link between the partner projects and the people that support them. FUM has 7 partner projects, and these projects were initiated by Kenyan Friends themselves, and that is Lindi Friends School, Samburu Friends Mission, Turkana Friends Mission, Friends Church Peace Team, Lugulu Hospital, Kaimosi Hospital, and Friends Theological College. And that is Judy doing, I think I've just finished leadership training in one of the yearly meetings, and she feels so tired. I think that is Judy's life, house in Kisumu, and I sometimes stay with my family members from home, from Kitale. At AMO, Judy works as an administrative assistant and program officer. She makes sure that everything is running well at the office. It's her job to organize for board meetings, workshops, and seminars, and write invitation letters. And Judith also conducts leadership trainings in all 17 yearly meetings. Judy trains church leaders in skills related to church business, and that is the picture of a leadership training going on in one of the yearly meetings in Kenya. and you can see how people are so active and they're asking so many questions. The AMO has increasingly engaged in work with the French schools, especially in writing and implementing the peace curriculum. And Sadok, who is also a staff at AMO, was added to AMO staff as Education Secretary last September, and he will work with the yearly meeting education secretaries and leaders, including chaplains of the Quaker schools, to help them learn and teach other Quaker values as well. And this will release Johnny Mohanji to do more visitation and evangelism ministry among the Kenyan yearly meetings. That is the AMO staff as of September 2012. Sadok, Eden, she's no longer there. We need somebody. That is Judy and John. How are you involved? That's a question. Friends in all 31 FUM yearly meetings are asked to support AMO financially in two ways. Your donation to FUM General Fund helps with the salaries of the Richmond and AMO staff, except for... Your donation to whoever will be appointed to this position ministry account, which is a restricted fund, helps pay for salary and expenses. Friends United Meeting depends on the staff of the Africa Ministries Office, lead the work to equip and energize friends as they gather people into Christian fellowships in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. There are those who feel called to expand the work in Uganda and Tanzania and even to South Sudan. And that these ministries are happening because of your help. We see FTC Chapel. We see Friends Church Peace Team. Those are people offloading some humanitarian assistance, food to the displaced people. That is Samburu Friends Church Women outside their church that was new and they were opening it that day. And we see Lindy School children very happy. We see Turkana Friends worshiping under a tree. And Kaimosi Hospital, where Judy Davis has been helping and supporting. And the twins are born in that hospital. It was a movie, but I don't know what happened with it. It's not playing. Then you can go ahead. We have another one. And that's motorcycles purchased by Iowa Yearly Meeting members. 1, 2, 3. And they were bought for those pastors. And the pastors are receiving the motorbikes. Okay, these are the pastors that were trained at FTC, and now they are serving the three churches in Tanzania. And the support of motorbikes that you've seen were bought for them so that they do much of the evangelism and reach people easily and make them work of God expand quickly. And they are celebrating because of the motorbikes. You can see the Tanzanian friends in Kiela monthly meeting. They are very happy because of what you've done to them. And that is a lady pastor being given a motorbike. This work is your work, and we believe it is God's work. We are very grateful for your participation. And may God bless you so much.
Well, that was good. Gonna have to think on some of that for a while. I've been there, and it was a fabulous visit. I hope I get back maybe this winter, and I might try to stay there someday if I live long enough. I think we ought to mention Annie Glenn. Did you get introduced? You didn't get introduced, did you?
It's okay.
No, it isn't. This is Annie Glenn, and she, Quaker Life editor.
Yes.
I met her, and I said, I've heard that name before. Where have I heard that name? I wish I hadn't said anything. I felt kind of like a penny waiting for change.
But
I'll tell you what, you take what you got.
Yeah, I do.
And thank you for your gift of bringing Judith and spending your time with us here. It has been a pleasure for me too and for us. I want to know, is there a report on what we did for an offering? Is there a number? $1,189 going to, it was on the board, AMO, African Ministries Office. I finally got that. As far as I know, everything is done that we planned, but I want to announce one last thing. Put on your calendar, I think it's February 22nd, be the fourth Saturday in February, and that's our Iowa yearly meeting, Winter Family Banquet, brought to you by your Quaker men. You got to come see how we did. And it's been a great time and a good way to kick off a new yearly meeting year. And we have a great spirit at these banquets, a lot of fun, some very serious worship. Spencer already left, but from our, I really appreciate Spencer helping us out with the music. It just seemed like we've just had him recently in his group, you know, but we support this campus ministry, and I remember when it was started. And I think that investment in young people, whether it's here to go out or in Kenya who go out, they're missionaries. And I'll just remind us, you are either a missionary or a mission field. God created us to be missionaries wherever we are. I'm ready to close. Are we ready to close? No, we're not.
Toward the end of August, Charlotte Stangland and Dana Oswald will be heading to Kenya to work with some teachers, with teacher training, with the peace curriculum, and hopefully that will be implemented into the primary schools. Hopefully it will be approved for that, for a pilot program to be done with that. So your prayers are needed for that. It's prayer that's making this all work. And it's crucial, so please pray for that.
Another one yet, and I want to remind you to meet with Carrie Hadley and Deb Savage, 103 down the end of that hall. Okay, but be sure and meet Triennials that way.
I've been urged to bring a matter to your attention. Scott and Tawny Biddle have moved to Oskaloosa, but they don't have a house to live in. So we want them to move in with one of you. No. Actually, they are so excited. They have purchased a house, but it's going to be a few weeks before they can get into it. So we're trying to figure out what we might come up with for accommodations them for them for a week or two somewhere along the way, relatively close to Oskaloosa, if possible. And I don't know how that's going to work out, but I think it's a good idea to bring it before you. You can pray about it. If you know somebody that has I got thinking about this myself over the weekend, a nice camper somewhere or something like that. I don't know. Give it some privacy. Anyway, I needed to bring that up. Thank you.
Are you done now? The last call, going once, going twice. I think we are rest to be done. One thing, let's remember to pray for, why does her name skip my mind? I thought a minute ago, from Linville, just a minute. Yep, Lynn Kinney. I don't know why I couldn't get that when I needed it. So let's remember to pray for her. We were asked to. No better time when you got a bunch of people together. We've had our meeting. We took our offering. Let's pray, and then we're dismissed. Stay and visit. Be sure to make the meeting if you're interested in helping the Triennials. Lord God, thank you for such a special time. And we thank you for the blessing that you have brought to our lives day in, day out that we take for granted. I want to thank you for this time and the words and the sharing that we have had for all those here who are serving you in special and great ways. Lord, we just lift our hearts together and unite them and pray that you would touch Lynn Kinney. Sometimes you have to do things we cannot do ourselves and man cannot do, but Lord, we trust you to hear our prayers, answer them, and to deal with her health, to fix her up. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.
who lost her sister on Friday night.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't get that caught. Where is Donna? Is she here? Not here? Well, you're a little late, so maybe we should do it again. Is anybody else while we're doing this prayer chain? Okay.
Kenny, I was just reminded also that John Mahungi arrived in the U.S. in North Carolina this week and came in quite ill, and they were very concerned about him, but they diagnosed him as having malaria, and so he's on the way to mend. We're praying for that as well. Rich Kopp, pastor in Des Moines, is in the midst of chemotherapy, and he doesn't talk about it. In fact, he doesn't even admit to me that he's not feeling good. It's kind of strong-willed that way. Actually, it's a case of a type of cancer they have told him that they cannot cure, but they can control it. But it's not an easy process. So we do want to pray for Rich Kopp and Donna. John, you want me to do that? Gracious Lord, yes, we continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you for the answers to prayer for John Mahungi. We continue to pray for Rich Kopp and a full and complete recovery for him. And for Donna, just the grieving process that she's obviously going through right at this moment. We know, Lord, that as she said to some of us following the service Friday night, that she realized she was glad that she was in a worship service when she received the news. And we thank you for that testimony. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.